Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Amen. God has spoken. Let us hear what God has to say. I am concerned, I'm angry, I'm upset at the state of affairs in our churches. I'm upset at what our elders and pastors are not doing. And I think most concerned Christians who are engaged, who care about the free practice of our religion, who care about the peace of the churches, who care about preserving our ability to get the gospel to as many people as we can without the threat of unemployment, the threat of fines, the threat of of jail. I think those Christians are very concerned as well. Welcome back to the Reformed Rant. My name is Ed Dingus, and today we are going to spend some time talking about the Gospel Coalition, John Piper, David Platt, and the SBC Prophets of Baal that are absolutely ruining the churches, the conservative evangelical churches in American culture. We're supposed to be the light of the world, and we are anything but. So, in this rant, you may hear me get a little upset, excited. You may hear me say things that you wouldn't say. Maybe I'm too direct. Please do not interpret what I say or how I say it as unloving. It is love for God, love for truth, and love for the church, as well as love for this fallen society that motivates me to be here doing what I am doing. If I didn't care, I would quit. I don't get paid for this. I have a demanding full-time job. And I have lots of other things that I could be doing. But because I am filled with the Spirit of Christ and He brings with Him to my person an overflowing abundance of love for God and His truth and His creation, to include His church, I am compelled to do what I do. And I hope that somebody listens to this, that it encourages you, that it challenges you, that it makes you think, hopefully that it changes you to some degree, but that it pulls you in and causes you to become more engaged. I want you to care about living your Christianity. All right? So let's get on with it.
That God's punishment for Adam was so severe. This creature from the dirt defied the everlasting holy God. After that, God had said, "The day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die." And instead of dying, Thanatos, that day, he lived another day and was clothed in his nakedness by pure grace and had the consequences of a curse applied for quite some time But the worst curse would come upon the one who seduced him, whose head would be crushed by the seed of the woman. And the punishment was too severe. What's wrong with you people?
That's a great question. I'll tell you what's wrong with these people. They do not hear sermons, really powerful, thundering, firm, convicting sermons concerning the holiness of God and the holiness in terms of lifestyle in which Christians are to be clothed, to live, to eat, drink, sleep, breathe every day. That's what's wrong with these people. The church has been coddled for years now, decades. We talk about how broke people are and how lost people are and how everybody's hurting right now, and people are just like have all these problems and the world's coming down on them and all these issues, and they're just trying to get by day in and day out. And we never confront them in their sinful thinking, in their sinful lifestyles. We just don't do it. And if we do, it's just a tiny, quick hit and move. Because the last thing we want to do is disturb them, is to upset them, is to add to their pain. That's what's wrong with these people. They do not understand the holiness of God, the righteous judgment of God, the wrath of God, and they do not appreciate the sinfulness of sin. Because if we did, you would not see the attitudes that we see in our communities of faith all across the world. That's what's wrong with these people. It's what's wrong with us. And we have to stop playing with it and start fixing it. All right, fix it, fix it. How do you fix it? We are living in desperately confusing times, and it's the confusion is not getting any better. We have the Gospel Coalition out talking about QAnon, doing everything they can to run cover for the idea that Christians can, in good conscience, support the Democratic Party. We have SBC prophets of Baal, I'm not going to accuse David Platt of being a prophet of Baal, but the SBC is filled with them, because if it wasn't filled with prophets of Baal, we wouldn't have the celebrity pastors, the kind of celebrity pastors. We wouldn't have celebrity pastors, and we certainly wouldn't have the kind of celebrity pastors that we do, guys like David Platt. And I'm sorry if you're a David Platt fan. You need to stop finding little tiny slivers of good here and there, little tiny slivers of right theology or right praxis here and there, and then ignoring all the other bad, all the other damage these guys do. This is what Paul meant when he says, Satan shows up as an angel of light. He gives off an appearance of things that are good. But at the end of the day, when he's done, he leaves in his path utter destruction, misery, cancer, and eternal death, darkness. That's what he does. Okay? He doesn't show up announcing himself to be a false prophet. Hey, I'm a false prophet. If you listen to me or anything that I say, I'm going to influence you in such a way that it's going to cost you your eternal soul. That's not how Satan shows up. We need to stop with this arrogance that we have of thinking that, well, I have a right to endorse guys like Platt, Russell Moore, Tim Keller, John Piper, and so on and so forth, regardless of what God's Word says about the things they teach. You will be complicit in their error if you are endorsing their writings. Now, some men will qualify or attempt to qualify, and there are some guys. I get it. You, and I think you should always qualify. But there are some guys like Russell Moore, David Platt now, J.D. Greer, Matt Chandler, John Piper, Tim Keller for sure, that you can no longer just say, you know, there are good things there, so read the good and throw out the bad. First of all, Pastor, let me say this to you about that, and I don't mean to come off as disrespectful. I'm making an argument here. What I'm trying to do is to get you to change your practice, okay? That's what I want you to do. Change your practice. Stop recommending these people, okay? Just stop doing it. You will be held complicit. You are not, and this is true for just about almost all pastors, you are not teaching your people how to be good discernment folks. They don't have a clue. You're not teaching them critical thinking skills. You're not peeling the onion. You're not allowing them to watch you peel the onion in front of them so they know what the principles are for peeling the onion and being a good discerner. If you were doing that work, then you might have a defense for recommending these guys, even though you know they have bad stuff in their writings and bad theology in their thinking, okay? But you don't do that. You're not doing that. So you're basically not equipping your people to be critical thinkers, good discerners. And on the flip side, you're giving them stuff that it might have a loaf of bread that might be consumable. The problem is, in the middle of the loaf of bread, there's a slice of bread that has cyanide in it. And they can't figure out what's good to eat and what's going to kill them because you're not helping them do that. So on both sides, you're culpable. If you're not going to teach your people to be good discerners, don't recommend that they read other people's stuff. Simple. How hard is that? And I'm convinced you figure that you ask yourself this question, is God himself going to hold you responsible for this? Is he going to stand you up and put his finger in the middle of your chest and ask you why you did things the way you did? Why did you put this book in that person's hands and then turn around and not equip them to be able to see the toxic poison in that book? It's bad enough that you were not teaching them how to distinguish good, solid theology from man-centered pagan ideologies. That's bad enough. You made it worse. You compounded your dereliction of duty by putting poison in their hands. All right? Look, I love you, man, but I got to tell you, this is going to come back to haunt you if you don't stop it. Plain and simple. All right, now that's just a preview of what this rant's going to be like. I hope that that's about as excited as I get. I apologize for those who are shaken by expressions of emotion. Some people, this really upsets some people. They just don't know what to do. Well, if you can't handle it, you can always delete, click the stop button, find something else to do. All right. QAnon. What is this QAnon stuff? The Gospel Coalition writes this article about QAnon. And I, look, okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know a lot about QAnon. And I've looked around. I went through and looked, trying to find what I would consider to be reliable resources that tell me exactly what it is. Something that I could really sink my teeth into, something that I could convey that would make sense, that would help you spot it. What is it? And here's the problem. For me, it seems to be smoke and mirrors. Now, I'm not doubting that there are people engaged in conspiracy theories. I know that there are people engaged in conspiracy theories. Some of those theories are goofy. Some of them not so goofy. So here's the danger with anything like QAnon. There is, no doubt, maybe some kookiness associated with QAnon. But I can promise you that where there's smoke, there's fire. And I would venture to say that there's probably some things coming from that, whatever that is. I don't know if you call it a movement or what, that are true. We all know for a fact that there are government cover-ups all the time. We know that politicians do things, military leaders do things behind the scenes, agencies do things behind the scenes that are not on the up and up, that are questionable, that are immoral, covert operations that we don't know about, and in some cases, and maybe even in most cases, we don't want to know about. Is there a movement to overthrow the government? Is there a movement? Is Trump really going to investigate certain people and remove them from power? Don't know. Could he? I mean, it seems to me that there's a lot of evidence, and we all know this, that point to the corruption. Like, I'm not talking about the kind of corruption that you see with Trump and potentially his history of questionable behavior around women, or maybe the use of language. I mean, come on. Really? Really? Anybody who talks about that kind of stuff, and I'm not talking about how he treats women, I'm talking about language. They're hypocrites, guys. You know this. You hear somebody come out and vent and rage about Trump's language, I can guarantee you, unless that person is a Jewish rabbi or a Baptist or Presbyterian pastor who's filled with the Holy Spirit ranting about this man's language, that they're probably hypocrites. I don't pay any attention to that kind of nonsense. So here's the real point about QAnon. The Gospel Coalition throws this out. They talk about this really serious danger or threat to the church, as if the church is going to be somehow seduced by the fringe elements of these conspiracy theories, which I think is laughable. So what is really going on when it comes to QAnon? It's nothing more than a ruse for the Gospel Coalition to find one more desperate attempt to ground the idea that it is perfectly moral for Christians to support the Democratic platform. That's all it is. Now, I'm going to move on from that because I don't want to talk a lot about QAnon today. Just to give you an idea, I went out looking for information on QAnon, and you know the sources that I found talking about it? CNN, ABC, CBS, The New York Post, The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Al Jazeera. In other words, progressive liberal beast that we call the media, that has absolutely burnt its integrity and credibility to the ground a long time ago. Bottom line is, I can't access any resources about QAnon that I can feel good about, that I'm comfortable with. Impossible. Now, what's that tell you? I mean, for me, when the only kind of material regarding QAnon are those sources and all the other sources are impossible to find or pretty close to impossible to find, that raises a red flag for me. That makes me wonder about, is QAnon really a bad thing? I don't know. But it does make me wonder whether or not it is a bad thing. At any rate, the Gospel Coalition is using it as a tool to ground the idea that it is perfectly immoral for Christians to support the Democratic platform. And that is the scandal of it all. It is the scandal of the Gospel Coalition. I should say the Gospel-less Coalition. All right. So here's the strategy that we see played out over and over again by these people. Find a descriptor that most people desperately want to avoid. Right? Homosexuals found bigot, and they used it masterfully. Feminists found male leadership. They identified male leadership with abuse and oppression of women, mistreatment of women, and it worked. The homosexual strategy worked. The feminist strategy worked. Now, SBC pastors are equating things like economic equality with pro-life and are identifying those who have a different perspective than that with being the equivalent of pro-choice baby killers. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be described as a pro-choice baby killer. So if my position on immigration or inequalities, economic inequalities in the country actually mean that I'm just as guilty of being pro-choice as pro-choice people are, killing babies, and I don't want to do that, so I'm going to jump ship. What is really silly about all of this is that you can't jump ship without actually becoming truly a pro-choice baby killer supporter. It's idiotic. But for those who are not critical thinkers, for those who are not thinkers at all, they're easy to maneuver. They've been maneuvered into accepting homosexuality and celebrating homosexual marriage. They've been maneuvered into accepting the fact that if you are a man, that's a bad thing, like the typical, traditional, historic man, manly man. That's antiquated, outdated. It means you're abusive. It means you're oppressive. It means you're backwards thinking. It means you're unattractive. You should be avoided, so on and so forth. And they try to use these things to eliminate this kind of thinking from society so that their ideologies will have little opposition, right? That's what is taking place. It is manipulation being played out right in front of us. And the church is culpable. Culpable because it's not only taking an act, culpable because it has taken an active role, but just as complicit by taking the passive role that so many take. All right. Now I want to move on to the real meat of this rant, and that is the recent article on John Piper. Before I do that, though, I will mention that good news for the homosexual folks is that the Pope has come out and in favor of having some sort of civil law status for civil union status for homosexuals. And people are saying, well, that doesn't mean he's endorsing homosexual marriage, gay marriage, or anything like that. No. Maybe not, but is it just a loophole? Does the Pope think that God has loopholes? I mean, so you don't call it marriage. I mean, if we are going to call homosexual behavior deviant sexual behavior, unnatural sexual conduct that rejects the very basic design of human sexuality, could we, in good conscience, even remotely try to be sympathetic with the Pope or come to his defense? Really? Well, apparently James White thinks that you could. He tweeted it today. I have no idea what's going on with James White, but look, here's the issue that I have with guys doing this. Some people think, You're too rigid, Ed. You're too firm, Ed. You won't budge an inch. Okay, so here's why I don't budge on these issues. Because I know you don't want an inch. That's why I won't give you an inch. I know you don't want an inch. You ever play tug of war? Think about the game tug of war. Guess what happens? Most of the time, when one side starts to gain the momentum, you end up at the end of the day, face down, flat on your face in the mud, right? That's what happens. And when you're playing tug of war, do you think the other side only wants an inch or 6 inches or a foot? No. That's not what they want. They want you face down in the mud. So you had better not give an inch, okay? If you think that these opponents of Christianity only want an inch or a foot or a mile, you have deluded yourself. They want you face down in the mud. They want Christianity done, period. End of the day. And if you do not believe that, you have lost your ever-loving mind. Most people who argue that's not true know for a fact that it is true, and they just want you to think that it's not true. And they're not going to be like me. They're not going to sound like I sound. See, I sound unloving and mean and cruel. They're going to sound very nice. They're going to sound very polite. They want to woo you into believing. All they want's an inch. They don't want an inch. And a guy like James White should know that. He should know better than that. There should be one response to what the Pope said about civil unions. And that response should be, from Christians I should say, should be nothing but scathing condemnation. Period. There's no other response. There's nothing else to say. Homosexual behavior, civil unions between two women, two men, is deviant sexual practice that gives God the finger. Those who do these things and those who approve of them are worthy of death. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He didn't come to anybody's defense. He said they are worthy of death. The Pope just issued approval for civil unions. What does Paul say about homosexuality? There you go. All right, now let's move on to the John Piper article. John Piper just released an article entitled, I'm just going to walk through this as quickly as I can, Policies, Persons, and Paths to Ruin, Pondering the Implications of the 2020 Election. I would say I have no words, but then I would have to end the rant. So obviously, I have some words, and I'm going to use them. Piper says in the article, I'm not going to give a summary view of the article. I'm just going to walk through piece by piece and give you my responses, what I think about what Piper's saying and doing with the article. Piper says, my point so far is simply to raise the stakes of what is outwardly modeled in leadership so that Christians are given pause. It is not a small thing to treat lightly a pattern of public behaviors that lead to death. Public behaviors that lead to death. He is obviously talking about Trump. He talks about these behaviors, characteristics, traits that lead to temporal and spiritual death. They're without a doubt pointing to Trump and his behavior that Piper doesn't like, and a lot of people don't like. My first response is, first of all, Piper is going to allow the cultural value of political correctness to dictate how he votes instead of the other very important biblical principles that are indispensable biblical principles. When Piper says patterns of behavior that lead to death, he's talking about The one, Trump is a sinner that apparently has a history of liking women, which I think most unregenerate men like women. They hit on women. They try to sleep with women. Even married ones try to sleep with women. Even single ones try to sleep with married women. It is the way of the world. It is the way of the fallen. The sexual desire to be with a woman, if you're a man, is a natural desire. It is a natural desire. God designed that desire to be within the confines of marriage. So the desire has to be for your wife. We all know this. This is Christianity 101. Piper is basically in this point saying that Trump's type of leadership, he's nasty, he says these things are true about him, he's not politically correct, he's not polished, and therefore he has a pattern of public behavior that leads to death. Now, public behavior can't be referring to Trump's sexual past, because that's private behavior. I mean, he does that in private. Public behavior has to be how he talks to people, how he tweets, and so on and so forth. So Piper doesn't like Trump's ignoring of being politically correct and being too blunt, too direct, and he says things that are raw. And apparently, that is behavior that leads to death. You know, I think Jesus and Paul and Peter and even James all engaged in public behavior that was scathing rebukes of others and about others that we might consider to be not that far from what Trump says to people. Now, their interest was protecting the church from ravenous wolves, from pigs that wallow in their own feces, from dogs that eat their own vomit, from vipers and blind guides who lead blind people, causing everyone to fall into the ditch. All right. So my first reaction is, this is just one more case of a Christian pastor who has been absorbed by political correctness, has imported political correctness into the fruit of the Spirit, and that's how you're loving and kind to people, is that you're politically correct. And now he's turning around, and actually he imports it into the Bible. Now he's exporting it as a mandate or a command or wisdom to be used by us, which is rubbish. He goes on and says, in fact, I think it is a drastic mistake to think that the deadly influences of a leader come only through his policies and not through his person, right? Because we say, well, you know, we're not voting for Donald Trump because of his personal character in terms of how he's conducted his life. From a Christian perspective, we think that he's probably not a Christian and that he has lived an unregenerate life like all of us once were at one point in time. We understand that. What we are concerned about is, are the policies of this man friendly towards the mission and goals of the church? And we believe they are. We do believe they are. So when was the last time a sitting president had real influence over you, your beliefs and values? Piper's afraid that Donald Trump is going to influence us to be mean, to be unloving, to be unkind, that his immorality is somehow going to rub off on the church or on society. When's the last time a sitting president actually had that kind of influence over society? Okay, we're not electing a personal coach. This is utterly ridiculous. If you think a man's person can have influence like this, then you had better believe his policies will have far more influence than his person. You put Joe Biden in office, Watch the influence his policies have. His radical views on abortion, homosexuality, gender, transgenderism, open borders, reparations, high taxes, taking from one person, robbing from one person, and giving to another solely for the sake of having power. And that's what's lost in all of this. These guys think that they try to convince us, oh, that the Democrats really care about the poor. They don't give a rat's hind end about the poor. They don't. Look at how they live. This is what drives me nuts about this hypocrisy. If you can't see that they care about power, and the only reason they try to appeal to the poor is so that they keep the power, you're a foolish person if you can't see that. It's really simple. Popper goes on and says, flagrant boastfulness, vulgarity, and factiousness are not only self-incriminating, they are nation-corrupting. As if the Democrats don't involve themselves in flagrant... It was Joe Biden who was asked, will you stack the court? The voters have a right to know. What did he say? No, they don't. No, they don't. And if you don't... I just heard vulgarity coming out of Joe Biden's mouth on a video where he visited a factory and one of the factory workers had the guts, one of the union guys had enough guts to actually challenge him. And he responded with vulgarity. If you don't think Joe Biden isn't using vulgarity when he's not on camera, you've lost your ever-loving mind. So Piper says this behavior is nation corrupting. I don't know what that means, how that's nation corrupting. But let's assume that it is. Butchering babies isn't nation corrupting? So, sorry, John, but Donald Trump is not our federal head. He's not going to corrupt me. He's not going to corrupt the church. And he can't corrupt a nation that's already corrupt, dead in its trespasses and sins. Donald Trump corrupts Donald Trump. He doesn't corrupt anybody else. By the way, unless you're in Christ, you're already corrupt. He isn't going to corrupt what's already corrupt. He can't. So, this kind of thinking from John Piper is, I don't know what's going on. I just gotta say, I don't know what's going on with him. Piper goes on and says, the truth is not uniquely Christian. The truth is not uniquely Christian. You have to chew on that one for a while. I would need to really take some time to go, whoa, wait a minute. That's something, something's off with that statement. Anyhow, he goes on and says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, 1 Corinthians 5:6. Bad company ruins good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Whether you embrace that company in your house or on social media, it corrupts, according to Piper. He goes on and says, there are sins that lead people into more and more ungodliness as their talk spreads like gangrene. Okay, so first of all, 1 Corinthians 5:6, little leaven leavens the whole lump, specifically referencing the body of Christ, a man who's living in fornication, in the body, and the body hasn't dealt with it. A little leaven leavens the entire lump. Why? Because it's a sin not to deal with it. He is rejecting the Word of God in his sexual behavior. You are commanded by the Word of God to address it, and you're rejecting the Word of God by not addressing it. That's how a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You end up with an entire church that in one way, shape, or form is rejecting the mandate of Scripture. He's rejecting the mandate on sex. They're rejecting the mandate on purifying the body and getting him out. That's how this works. Has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Response. Number two, 1 Corinthians 15:33 is addressing the heresy and false teachings and teachers in the church. Okay? Sorry. That is 2 Timothy 2. 1 Corinthians 15 is addressing not just the heresy, the specific heresy that there is no resurrection, and the effects that that kind of teaching have on a believing community. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Paul goes on and says this, right? He goes on and says this. It ruins good morals. The pagans don't have good morals. None of them. You think there's a politician in Washington with good morals? Unless they're truly born again, truly walking in the faith of Christ, they don't have good morals as far as God is concerned. I mean, this is... Okay, 2 Timothy 2:16, 17. He quotes this scripture, their talk spreads like gangrene. This concerns false teachings and false teachers in the church, not pagan politicians or civil leaders. If you don't check a false teaching, for example, the social justice movement, racial reconciliation, wokeness, liberation theology, if you don't check those false teachings, they're going to spread to others in the community and to other communities. If you don't believe me, just look at the OPC, the PCA, and the SBC. Just look at those organizations, those denominations, and see how woke liberation theology, social justice, racial reconciliation has swept through those denominations because the false teaching wasn't checked and it has spread like gangrene in those churches. That's what Paul is talking about. John Piper has come unhinged in applying texts that are concerning immoral behavior and false teachings in the church to American politics. It is the most egregious display of eisegesis I have ever witnessed the man engage in. I truly have seen almost nothing like this. Now, I'm going to add this in. John Piper is a man who takes the harshest possible stand on divorce and remarriage. Okay, I'm intimately familiar with Piper's position on this because I have been divorced and remarried. He doesn't allow for remarriage no matter what. It does not matter if there was adultery. It doesn't matter if there's unbeliever abandonment. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if there was abuse. Nothing matters. If you get divorced, you can never get remarried. But when his son Barnabas got remarried, there he was, sitting on the aisle, clapping for his son, who was doing what John had previously said was a brazen sin. No remarriage. It's funny how that works, right? These celebrities have almost, to a man, destroyed their credibility through brazen acts. Brazen acts that demonstrate they have no personal integrity. Sad and pathetic. How many times do we see one of these celebrity pastors come out, change their position on homosexuality because they have a kid that's gay? How many times do you see that? How many times do we see that softening, that taking a different position because their child is homosexual? Piper goes on and compares Israel's kings that led them into sin with our president who will lead us into sin. This is some of the worst hermeneutics I've ever seen in my life. Presidents hold virtually no sway over Americans' personal behavior. We don't look at them that way. We don't, if you go back a few hundred years, and maybe even today to a degree, but not much. I mean, there was a time when kings had true influence. We don't live in that age. We don't live in that culture. That's not our society. On top of that, are we supposed to believe that Trump's refusal to be politically correct is morally worse than butchering babies, celebrating homosexuals, intending to remove our abilities to protect ourselves from the lawless by taking our guns away, and the removal both of religious liberties and free speech? At a minimum, these are some very odd priorities for John Piper. Very odd indeed. Piper goes on and says, freedom and life are precious. We all want to live and be free to pursue happiness. But if our freedoms, and even our lives, are threatened or taken, the essence of our identity in Christ, the certainty of our everlasting joy with Christ, the holiness and love for which we have been saved by Christ, none of these is lost with the loss of life and freedom. So why not just take an apathetic approach to voting? Really? Go to Iran, go to China, find me a country, and there are plenty to choose from, where Christianity and Christians are suppressed and oppressed and not allowed to practice their faith freely, and ask them, would you rather live here where you are as a Christian, or would you rather live in America where you can be free? Free to sit down and have Bible studies openly, free to run your church business the way your conscience dictates according to the rules and the authority of Scripture? Or would you rather live under oppression and be persecuted, potentially fired, sent to jail, fined? Seriously, John Piper, what is wrong with you? Losing your freedom of religion and having to take Christianity underground is a fair trade for a Biden administration, because after all, Biden is what, morally superior to Donald Trump? Really? How? What Trump does openly and honestly and transparently, Biden does secretly, and worse. If you don't think so, then you're incredibly naive. Biden hides it. He's politically correct. Trump is not. They're the same when it comes to this. Second, Paul was very concerned about the peace of the churches. Ask Timothy. Pray for kings, leaders, all that are in authority. Why? So that the churches would have peace. Biden is an immediate threat to that peace. Paul requested prayer that the word of God would spread rapidly to the church at Thessalonica. The Democrats are an immediate threat to this, an obstacle to Paul's most sincere hopes regarding the churches and the spread of the word of God. Who the president is will not influence the community of faith personally. But from a policy standpoint, who the president is and the party that holds the power will most definitely make it easier or harder for the community of faith to execute its mission and mandate. Piper is speaking absolute rubbish. Piper goes on and says, it is naive to think that a man can be effectively pro-life and manifest consistently the character traits that lead to death, temporal and eternal. Okay. What the heck is Piper talking about here with respect to character traits that lead to death? What is he talking about? Has John Piper not watched? I mean, he lives in Minneapolis, right there where they burned the place to the ground. The Democrats won't condemn it. These are the ones who are supporting the Democratic Party. They've burned city blocks to the ground across this country. When you want to talk about character traits that lead to death? How about defunding the police? How about sitting by on your hands and doing nothing while people are burning down the businesses of innocent people? Just because they're mad because a judge or an officer of the law, or a jury, did something they didn't like. John Piper's going to stand up and talk about the dangers of Donald Trump's character traits that lead to death when the Biden crowd is doing this kind of nonsense? You can't even sit down in a restaurant in some of these places without this crowd coming in and standing over top of you and threatening you. John Piper, you need to wake up. This is outrageous. I guess these guys forget about the facts when they sit down and write these articles. When Piper was contemplating this article to begin with, I don't know what happened to half of his brain. He must have forgot what's going on in the country right now in front of his own eyes. Now, you know, one other thing I want to throw in, when we talk about these administrations, shouldn't we consider both the president and the vice president? I mean, yeah, Trump's character may not be what we want it to be, but what about Pence? I mean, it is possible that Pence may very well be a genuine Christian. And one thing is sure, neither Biden nor Harris show any evidence whatsoever to suggest that they take anything Jesus said seriously. Neither one of them. Not only that, they don't take the Constitution seriously. They're going to rip it to shreds. They're going to tear it to bits. You want to talk about oppression? Once the Constitution is gone, the minority, there will be nothing standing in the way of oppressing the minority. Nothing. Piper goes on and says, with a cheerful smile, I will explain to my unbelieving neighbor why my allegiance to Jesus set me at odds with death. Death by abortion and death by arrogance. In response to this, I would say, Mr. Piper, abortion is no metaphor. You get to heaven. I hope you get a chance to ask some of those babies if they appreciate being used as a metaphor. It's real. They've been ripped apart in the womb. Take a 9-month-old newborn baby just out of the womb and drop it into a pack of wolves and watch them rip it apart. And then you know what happens to those babies in the mother's womb. How dare you compare abortion to what you think is arrogance and what many believe is just a man who refuses to be intimidated by a radically politically correct culture that's lost its mind. We do not look to the office of president to set an example of spiritual life for us as the Christian community. We never have, and we never should. We should see that office for what it is. The minister of God put in place to punish evildoers, to maintain law and order in the society, to protect the law-abiding citizen from the lawbreaker and to punish the lawbreaker. That's what we should see it for. We should not look to that office to set an example of what spiritual life is supposed to be. That's what, Mr. Piper, that's what our elders are for. All right, I've said enough, and I'm almost out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up here. Look, I know I got a little excited. I know I got a little energetic and passionate, but it is because I love the truth. I love God. I love God's people, and I love the unbeliever. I want us to be able as a church, as the Church of Jesus Christ in this society, in American society, I want us to be able to continue to spread the Word of God without restrictions. I want us to be able to sit down in restaurants and have Bible studies and say and speak the truth without worrying about somebody overhearing us, calling the authorities and subjecting us to fines or arrest. I want restaurants to be told that you cannot dictate to people that they don't have a Bible study in your restaurant if that's what they're doing. If they want to sit down and have lunch and have a conversation over a particular lesson, they should be able to do that, and you should not be able to throw them out. These freedoms are important. I want employers to be told you cannot fire people because they're Christians and hold to certain religious beliefs that you disagree with. If that's allowed, you can get to the place where Christians are starved to death. There aren't enough true Christians to make a difference when it comes to that sort of thing. There just aren't. We're a tiny, tiny minority. people think that we have huge numbers. We don't. I hope something that I said provokes you, encourages you, stirs you up, pulls you in to actually become more engaged in these things that are going on, to take a position, to take a stand, and not only take a position and a stand, but to speak up. Don't be quiet. Stand up. Be strong. Be firm. Be loving. Be firm. Okay? Nothing I've said about John Piper should be interpreted as me not loving John Piper. It should be interpreted as me not loving John Piper's article. I really don't love his article. I find it very disturbing on many levels. And I hope that's your takeaway. God bless. Listen, stay in the fight. Keep the faith. Continue to stand firm for the truth. Don't be discouraged. God is sovereign. Maybe he's pouring his wrath out on our country. Maybe not. I don't know. But he's not going to pour it out on those people who are in Christ. I can promise you that. Things might get difficult. Keep your chin up. Continue to glorify him no matter what. Amen. God bless.
This podcast is part of the Bible Thumping Wingnut Network,
biblical Christianity's marketplace of ideas.
BibleThumpingWingnut.com.